Throughout the history of mankind, man's arrogance and his pride has led to the false assumption that we see over and over again, and that is that this will never happen here. Long ago, men had that very idea. In fact, the wise man said in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not of what a day will bring forth." Paul condemned this attitude during his time. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and verse 3, Paul said, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." That was in Paul's time. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 3, our Lord was speaking to his apostles as they had shown him the rebuilt temple and the walls and the various parts of the city of Jerusalem. And they were amazed when Jesus said that this is going to be destroyed. They were amazed. "Lord, the temple has been rebuilt. The walls are up. The city's secure. And you're saying that it's going to be destroyed? This could never happen." Well, in AD 70, Titus and three legions of the Roman army surrounded the city of Jerusalem and destroyed the city and the temple once again. As we think about our own time, in America, it was founded upon the belief in God as creator of the universe and Christian principles that are found in the Bible. For over 200 years, we have expected this to continue. Anything different will never happen in America. But now, evolution is taught to every child in the public school system. Attempts to remove the name of God from classrooms, from courthouses, from the very currency that we use every day. The Pledge of Allegiance. Laws in many of our states seek to desecrate God's laws on marriage, and statutes and ordinances in many states protect and promote homosexuality. That's what's happening now in America. Violence and evil are all about us, and we see it every day on our newscasts. Shootings occur in department stores, restaurants, gas stations, even a church in Charleston, even a church in Jacksonville, and most recently in a Pittsburgh synagogue. Evil is all about us. Edmund Burke, an English philosopher, penned these words long ago: "All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing." The idea that this will never happen here has happened all about us. But I guess the question that you and I have to ask, what do Christians do? What do we do about the evil and the violence that's all about us in our everyday lives? And now it's coming even to our worship services. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, there in verse 16, Jesus is giving the instructions to his apostles to go into all the world, and listen to the warning that he gives them. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves." The world then as now was evil and hostile to believers in the Christ. He was saying to Christians that they must combine the wisdom and the caution and the apprehension of a serpent with the harmlessness of a dove. In 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 34, Peter said, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." To put that in our language, nothing has changed. Why should we expect anything different, would be the saying. The world then, as the world is now, is filled with evil and hostility to believers of Jesus. And the saying to Christians today must be that we must be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Partially in concern for these concerns, this evening, in our evening worship service, we have invited a gentleman from the St. Augustine Church of Christ. His name is Tim Reckenbach. He is a federal agent. He's a faithful Christian. And he's coming tonight to speak on the matter of the church and violence prevention. I hope you'll be here. I think all of us need to hear what he's going to be saying. I don't know about you, but as I have read about some of the events that are happening in other places and places of worship, I have asked myself, well, what would I do if something like that were to happen, even here at Oceanside? God forbid. And so I hope you'll be here tonight and that in hearing the words of this federal agent, that you can be helped and you'll have the knowledge and wisdom of a serpent and be as harmless as doves. Tim will be here, and I'm sure that you will enjoy what you hear from him. But have there been other individuals who have had the same idea that this will never happen here? The Bible says there have been a number of individuals. For example, one individual was Simon Peter, apostle to the Lord. You remember Peter. He was the one who boasted of his loyalty to Jesus. And I'm sure that he meant exactly what he said. You remember that Jesus was saying to him, or he was saying to Jesus, that I will never forsake you. And yet Jesus said to him, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The fact remains that Jesus was saying to Simon, Satan does not have total control. Satan, I have limited him. And Satan cannot cause you to sin. And when you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. There was a similar conversation held between God and Job, or Satan rather, about the man Job, over in Job 1 and in verse 12. There you'll remember that the conversation went like this: "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself not put not forth thy hand against him." In other words, God had limited the power and the strength of Satan over Job. Well, Satan tried all that he could, but he came back later in Job, the second chapter, and spoke again to Jesus, or to God rather, and he said to him, "Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life." And the answer came back from God, Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. Do what you will to Job, but you cannot take his life. The power of Satan is limited in what he can do to believers in Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 13, Paul said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He's talking about you and me. That there is no temptation that has overtaken us that we cannot bear, because God has limited the power that Satan has. Again, in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, Paul says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." There are limits to the power of Satan. In James, the 1st chapter, verse 13 and 14, James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." You know, a few years ago, there was a comedian who was made famous by making the statement, "God made me do it." That statement is not true. God does not tempt anyone. God provides a method and a way of escape for each temptation that comes upon us. The idea that Peter had was that I will never deny you. That will never happen in my life. Peter was not right. Peter did fail in his life. And so we too must be very careful in what we say, and what we say will never happen to me or to happen here. Jesus said, "Satan wants you, Peter. Satan wants to sift you like wheat and separate you from the chaff." Jesus was saying, temptation is going to come to you, Peter, but a time of testing will come and you will overcome that, and when you do, you're to strengthen your brethren. In James, the 1st chapter again, verse 2, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Temptations will come, but we can find from that a production of faith in our lives. Peter said, "I'll never deny you, Lord." And I believe Peter really believed that. He was very sincere in exactly what he was saying. In Matthew 16, verse 21, Jesus told his disciples that his suffering was going to come and he would be crucified in Jerusalem. In verse 22, guess who spoke up? Simon Peter. In fact, it says, it took Jesus, and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine? To rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. You're not going to be crucified. That will never happen to you." You know, sometimes people say, "I'd never do that. I'd never do this. Or I'd never do what that person did." But you know, really, if we look at it, such statements are foolishness. How do you know you would never do it unless you have been tempted in the same way? How would you know unless the wheat has been separated from the chaff in your life, and that testing has occurred? That's the only way that we too can say, "I would never do this or that." Another lesson we can learn from Peter, I think, is that failing a test is always a bitter, bitter experience. Peter said, Lord, with you I am ready to go, both to prison and to death. In Mark 14:29, and Peter says, even though all shall be offended, yet will not I. I will not do it, Lord. I will go with you even to prison and even to death. And yet, he did exactly that. In Mark 14:30, Jesus said to Peter, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake more vehemently, Peter did, more vehemently, even if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also they said they all. Not only did Peter say, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. All of the other apostles said, neither will we. And we know what happened. The sad fact remains is that it's never easy to be told we're not what we think we are. It's never easy, as some would say, to eat crow. And Peter had to do just that along with the others. Only Luke records the look that Jesus gave to Peter after that third denial. In Luke 22:54-62, the Bible says, according to Luke, that Peter followed afar off. And as he got closer to where the trial was, there was a servant girl who came to him, and she said, this man was also with him. And Peter responded, I don't know him. And then another servant came and said, you are of them, for ye you are among the Galileans. And then Peter again says, I am not of them. Man, I do not know what you're saying. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. What a look it must have been. Luke says that he wept bitterly. When we fail in serving the Lord, we need to remember. Luke says that Peter remembered and he wept bitterly. He remembered that conversation. He remembered his statement, Lord, this will never happen to me. Nor to you. When we fail in serving the Lord, we need to remember. We need to remember the time that we committed our lives to Him, that we wanted to live for Him, that we would be committed to Him, and we fail. We need to remember that time in our lives. In Revelation 2:5, Jesus, or the John says to the church at Ephesus, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Did you hear the first word of that warning? Remember from whence thou art fallen. The Bible said, does not say, if you sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have times in our lives that we would like to forget, but even if we put them out of our memory, they're not forgiven. We must not give up. We must not quit when we fail. Jesus said to Peter, who had failed miserably in his time of testing, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. The bottom line to Peter and to each of us is to remember, to repent, to get up, and to go back to work, to our commitment. After becoming a Christian, it doesn't take long for our test to come. And we need to realize that we can fail when that test comes. In Galatians 1 and verse 6, Paul admonished the churches of Galatia, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." I'm amazed that you are so soon converted to another gospel. But I guess the bottom line for each of us today is, what do we do about our failures? We must put our trust in God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must also repent of our failures, Luke 13 and verse 3. We must confess to the world that, yes, I am a Christian and I do believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10 and verse 32. And finally, we must be baptized for the forgiveness of all of our past sins upon the commitment that I'm going to live for my Lord. But as Christians, we will fail too, just like Peter. If Peter, an apostle, could fall, then you and I as Christians can also fall. When we do, James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much." Reality of all of this is, if you're not a Christian and you fail, who do you go to? There is no other. There is no one to turn to but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you are a Christian and disobey God and fall, failing to repent and confess, you too will be in trouble. In fact, Peter says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 29 that if we turn back from where we are committed, he says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. "Lord, this will never happen," said Peter. The thing that was never to happen happened. Evil is all about us. And without Christ in our lives, there's nothing but failure. I wonder this morning, what is your attitude? Is your attitude that this will never happen here? This will never happen at Oceanside? Violence will never come here? Is your attitude, "Well, this will never happen. I'll never deny. I'm going to be faithful to the very end"? There are others who've said the same thing and failed. This morning, you and I need to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we plead with you. Please commit your life to Christ in obedience to Him, believing, repenting, confessing, and being buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're a Christian and like Peter, you thought it couldn't happen to you, and it has happened, won't you come back and allow the church here to pray for you that you might be forgiven of those sins that you've repented of? If you need to respond to this morning, why don't you come as together we stand and as we sing.